Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today on Reformation Day, I will be pleased to nail the theses to the building again in case we have to get people's attention and keep them awake. That's why I've got the hammer. On this Reformation Sunday, would you read together with me from the screen our sermon title, From Rags to Riches? Reuben just read a single verse from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Listen to this precious verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Rags to riches. It's a common saying in the English language. Rags to riches means a person has started off in life poor, but by hard work and determination has become successful and wealthy. We are easily inspired by the stories of those people who went from rags to riches. It's the dream of so many people. Maybe it's your dream today to go from rags to riches. But in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, he did just the opposite. He went from riches to rags. Jesus went from being the king over the entire universe to being a beggar and a pauper who didn't even have a place to call his own or to lay down his precious head. He gave up the glory and majesty and honor of heaven to be born in a crude little wooden manger in a Bethlehem manger, and then to be nailed to a rugged cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem. St. Paul puts it this way. You know our Lord Jesus Christ, yet though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Why would Jesus allow himself to go from riches to rags? Well, a simple news story that I found not long ago gives us a clue. A woman named Anne and her family were in the upper peninsula of the United States state called Michigan, crossing the world's largest suspension bridge, the Mackinac Bridge. Just as they were getting ready to cross the bridge, a horrible big windstorm came and the authorities closed down the bridge. Soon, a long string of cars, a mile or two long, were waiting to cross this bridge. When finally the bridge opened and Anne and her family came to the toll booth, the toll attendant said, "You don't have to pay your toll. The guy ahead of you has paid the toll for you." She looked into the distance and saw the fading lights of a minivan, knowing she could never catch up, and thanked this person for paying her toll. In a very similar way, the driver ahead of us, our Lord Jesus Christ, has paid our toll to the entrance into heaven by his blood shed upon the cross. St. Paul says this. Listen to it again, our sermon text. Are we ready for the hammer? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." And in Colossians 1:20, Paul put it this way, "For God was pleased through Christ to reconcile to himself everyone by making peace through Christ's blood, the blood shed upon the cross." And here we go again. The blood shed upon the cross when his precious hands were nailed there and his blood was poured out for you and me. It's no coincidence, I think, that a hammer was used to nail our Lord's hands to the cross and his feet, and Martin Luther used a hammer to nail on the door of the church the gospel truths that had been so easily forgotten. You see, this is why Jesus went from riches to rags, so that our many sins might be paid for, so that we might be reconciled to a holy God, so that the Lord Almighty may say to you and me, are you ready for these words? So the Lord Almighty might say about you and about me these words from Malachi 3:17. "You will be mine in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare you, just as in compassion a man spares his child who serves him." My friends, how blessed we are to be God's treasured possession. One of the key truths of the Reformation, and here comes the hammer again, to remind us how precious we are as God's beloved children. The greatest, the grandest, the most precious of all riches belong to you. The rags of our sin have been exchanged for the riches of Jesus' resurrection glory. Because of Jesus, we have gone, say it with me, we have gone from rags to riches. And the riches we have, we're speaking of today, are eternal, spiritual, heavenly riches no one can ever take away. But these heavenly riches, and here's where we're going to stop preaching and start meddling. Are you ready? These heavenly riches have a direct relationship to our earthly riches and to our church offerings. I am here today to share with you a discovery I made as we studied for this sermon. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. The words I'm about to read to you, I have read at countless funerals. I have read on countless Easter Sunday mornings, but listen to this text. Listen carefully. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord." Now again, I have read those countless times at funerals and on Easter Sunday. The free and glorious gift of salvation God gave us because of Christ's death and resurrection. But now, are we with me? Listen to the very next verse Paul says. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of the week, that is Sunday, each of you should set aside and give a sum of money in keeping with your income. Paul makes an amazing connection. It's on your outline. Paul makes an amazing collection between salvation and offerings. One could say that Paul went from the resurrection to the collection. Yes, I say it again. From the resurrection to the collection. Jesus has won for us the eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil. And now we say thank you. We say thank you by giving our offerings that supports the ministry of this great gospel proclamation. There's nothing strange about it at all. Paul says in this text, there's an obvious connection between the resurrection and the collection. Jesus has won us from the rags of death and sin. He has given us his resurrection riches, and now it's our turn to say thank you by how we use our earthly riches. You see, my friends, we are, of all the people in the world, we are the people who know. We know that the remedy to sin and death and hell is found in Jesus Christ. For these reasons, we want to support the gospel ministry of the church. Now, here's another pointed question for you. If Christians do not financially support the gospel work of the church, who will do it? The Buddhist? The Hindu? The Muslim? The Mormon? The Jehovah's Witness? The atheist? No way. Will you please go home today and pray about how your life can better demonstrate the connection between the resurrection and the collection? Today is Reformation Sunday, the Sunday in which we remember a doctor of the church, Martin Luther, a pastor of the church, became a movement to reform the church, to get the church to go back to being faithful in proclaiming the free and gracious gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, many of you know something about the Reformation, right? However, did you know the Reformation began because of a money issue. Yes, it did. There was a terrible thing going on in the church of Luther's day. It had to do with the selling of pieces of paper called indulgences. How many of you have ever heard the word indulgence before? An indulgement was a piece of paper or certificate the church of Luther's day sold to poor and to ignorant people. They were told that by paying for this indulgence, and the more money they paid, the more indulgences they got, they could be sure their sins were forgiven, they would not have to go to hell when they died, and they could buy their loved ones out of the terrors of hell by paying for this piece of paper. Now, you might say, well, that's an interesting history lesson from 500 years ago. But when you go home today, if you use a computer or know one who does, go on the internet and write the Vatican and indulgences. Because just last week, a pronouncement came out of the Vatican. The Pope declared he is now issuing a whole new set of indulgences that people can buy to make sure their loved ones who have already died can escape a made-up place called purgatory and somehow get to heaven. Now, why was Luther so ticked off about that? Why should we be upset about such things today? Because such a teaching not only robbed poor people of their money in Jesus' day, in Martin Luther's day, more importantly, it turned people away from trusting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross by his death and resurrection, and made them think they had to earn or pay for salvation by buying this piece of paper. Pastor Luther was angry with the leaders of his church that day. And that's why Luther used his holy anger to go to the church door at Wittenberg the day before All Saints' Day to nail these theses on the door and say, but this is what the Word of God says. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works, so no one can boast. Now the church was changed. The church was reformed. Many people around the world put their simple faith in Christ. Our church today came from this Reformation, all because of a money issue. There is a connection between the resurrection and the collection. Our collection, our offering, is always and only a way to say thank you for our Lord Jesus for what he's already done for us. It is never given to win the approval of others or win God's love. We who have lived in the rags of sin and death have been given Jesus' riches of forgiveness and grace and salvation. On the cross, Jesus went from riches to rags for you and me, that we might go from rags to riches. Jesus, heaven's prince, became a pauper for you and me. What is a pauper? Look at your sermon outline at the very bottom. Jesus, the prince of heaven, became a pauper for you and me. A pauper is an old English expression for a person who is poor and has no riches. The American author Mark Twain wrote a famous book entitled The Prince and the Pauper. Very briefly, this wonderful story is about a rich and powerful prince in a kingdom. And this young prince found a man in the community that could have been his twin brother. So what did the prince do? The young prince traded places with this pauper. He gave up his riches for the rags of the pauper. He lived in his house, felt his hunger, suffered his troubles. This helped this prince become a more kind and wise and loving king for the future. And soon after, he was made a king. And because he traded his riches for the rags of the pauper, he more loved and understood his dear people in his kingdom. But with joy, this new king gave this pauper all the riches he could have. And the pauper, in turn, used those riches, note this, to care for others and to give praise to his King. What a wonderful picture of what Jesus Christ, our Prince, has done for us. What a wonderful picture of what we can do with our earthly resources. What an opportunity we have to support the ongoing gospel work of the Church of the Reformation. What an opportunity we have to draw a connection in a very practical way, a connection between the resurrection and the collection. All because our dear Lord Jesus Christ went from riches to rags for us. Happy Reformation Day. And all God's people said, Amen.